Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, very blessed to be with you this morning. I thank God for you, and I ask God to watch over you and protect you. Father God in heaven, we come together again, Lord God, for Bible study, to spend time in your word, Lord God. And I lift up this word, asking you, Father, as always, to please increase as your daughter decreases. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. I cannot do this without you. So as you increase, Lord God, and I decrease, I ask your blessings over all those that listen live and listen later, asking you, Lord, to bless them, to guide them and to lead them in the way that they should go and that they be led towards you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I pray all slept well. As we say on moving forward in the morning, no thieves broke in and no fires broke out. I pray the Lord, the love of God, each of you as well, because he is a good God. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. And I am, as always, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you again. So let's get ready to get in our word this morning. As you know, on Friday, we were in the book of Job. We will be in the book of Job for a little bit today. But first we're going to start in our Psalms. And this Psalm just does something to my heart. We read it on Friday. The first verse, I believe we read on Thursday. But we're going to read the whole thing today because it just got put in my heart to read all of it again. So we are going to go to the 91st. Why? Because it's part of our lesson, it's first of all. But second, because I just love the 91st song. There's something about the 91st song that does something to my spirit. It gets you through when you're having a bad day and you just need a word from God. I'm telling you, the 91st song will take you there. And today I'm going to come out of the Christian Standard Bible. And I just wanted to go there. And it's that if you hear me, it's because I have Bibles all around me. But I had to grab this Christian Standard Bible. And I love this also. Holman's Christian Standard Bible also a great Bible to have, along with New King James. And the Bible we are using for this Bible study for this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am in New King James. And again, as I say every day, I'm not being paid by Israel Houghton and New Breed to tout their work, but even though I will say you need to buy Israel Houghton and New Breed, because I like I say, those guys and girls, those young people have gotten me through a lot. You know, when I first started listening to Israel Houghton, I just thought, oh, man, I love this guy. And I had every album, you know, since they kind of have gotten away with being able to have your CDs in your car if you have a newer vehicle. I haven't purchased like I used to, but I still listen. And I thank God for YouTube, and I thank God for giving us this beautiful music through Israel and New Breed. and him and his wife as well. You know, we have got to look up and listen to those artists that promote God and promote his love. You know, it's easy to be out in the world, but you don't want to be of the world. So anyway, just throwing that out there. God is good. So let's get into our word. And this is what it says, the protection of the Most High. I read that again. You know, as titles go in the word, the protection of the Most High. 91st Psalm, and it says this, the one who lives under the protection of the Most High. And folks are like, what? That's our way. I'm coming from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, the one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He himself will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. No harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent, but he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. Because he has his heart set on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. And I love the commentary from this particular Bible. It's by Dr. Tony Evans. And Dr. Evans says in this 91st Psalm, God covers his own with his faithfulness, thus providing them with a shield of protection. Knowledge of this should produce confident trust in God. Regardless of the dangers we might face, those who experience the covering that God provides will be covered. Whew. For the one who makes God his or her refuge will not experience harm because the Lord has commissioned his angels to watch over him or her. Tells us that believers have angels divinely assigned to protect us and strengthen them from spiritual danger. Oh, praise the Lord. Which are depicted here as wild beasts. Only in eternity will we know how many dangers, toils, and snares angels have protected us from. When he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and we're talking the devil appeared in Psalm 91, 11 through 12, urging Jesus to throw himself from the temple. In Matthew 4, 5 through 6, and demonstrating how scripture can be twisted for selfish purposes. The psalmist wants God's people to understand how he cares for them, not how they can manipulate God to do their bidding. And we have to be very careful that we listen to the word of God and not allow someone to twist it for their own evil purposes. God is with us, and he loves us, and he cares about us. And as we go into Psalm the 92nd Psalm, verses 1 through 7. It is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day, which is today. And it says this, for this day, which is God's day, the Sabbath day, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp, with a harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hand. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. And a life lesson from Dr. Stanley is this: declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. This verse points to the moment-by-moment relationship that God wants with us. He has little interest in a law, do this in the morning and this in the evening, but rather wants to enjoy our company all day long. Prayer is not just I'm going to pray when I get up, and then I'm going to pray before I go to sleep, and then I'm done. All day. You just talk to God like you talk to your friends. Because there's no friend better than the Lord. There's no friend better than Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All the sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. We have to speak to God every day. Call him. Talk to him. He's your best friend. I know he's mine. Because I can talk to God and tell him anything, and it won't go anywhere but to him. It won't go to Sister Susie down the street or Boo Boo and them. Because don't tell what I'm about to tell you. We all been there. I've been there. You've been there. We all been there. You know, telling somebody to keep a secret. Only person that can keep a secret is God. But there are those like my mom and my Aunt Marilyn, where they say some things you just take to the grave. And some things you got to take to the grave. It's nobody's business but you and God. You don't have to tell all your business to everybody. And as we continue in this word, I have a word from also Dr. Evans on this one. He says, one reason there is so little genuine worship among God's people today is that we don't keep track up and call to mind all of God's past deeds. We forget to thank God. We forget to lift up the name of Jesus. We forget that it is a privilege to be a servant of the Most High. It's a privilege to do this. God is good all the time. And we got to thank him every day for the blessing that he bestows on us through his time with us. Are you spending time with God? You got to spend time with him. And that comes from prayer, from reading the word, from just having a conversation with God and just letting him know, I love you, Lord. You are my best friend, and I'm thankful that you call me friend and that you know my name. You know my name. You know Virgin Marie. And I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Thank God that he knows who you are. And as we go into our proverb for today, and it says this in Proverbs chapter 22, starting at verse 13. The lazy man says, there is a lion out there. I said, be slain in the streets. The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. feel abhorred by the Lord will fall there. He is who abhorred are not liked by the Lord will fall there. And I'm going to tell you, be careful, ladies. Be careful, young men. The enemy is busy, and he can twist something around that you say, oh, you know what? That is so me. They know they talking to me, but you're not listening. You're listening to the beat. You're listening to, that sounds good. Ooh, they describing me. Are they describing you? Are you in the club on Saturday night trying to get to church on Sunday morning? Are you dropping in like it's hot? Are you being a tot? I'm just calling it like it is because those are ways to songs out there. Well, we got our children, our young women all twisted up. We got to trust God. And we got to leave sin where it is in sinful places and trust God to guide us out into the light. Because darkness is out there and it's prevalent. And folks are running right into the dark and wondering why they can't see. We got to be careful. Watch what your children are listening to. I don't care if it's something you used to listen to back in the day. Music is not what it was back in the day. Some of the lyrics and some of the songs out there that our children are listening to are frightening and satanic. And we got to stop and listen and watch. As my mother-in-law says, and as the Word of God says, we got to watch and pray. Because the snares of the enemy are out there, and he is trying to snare our children, our young women, our little girls, our little boys, our young men. And we have got to be vigilant. And this is what the proverb says in Proverbs 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. We got to quit sparing that rod and spoiling that child and wondering why kids don't know how to act. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. Nowadays, children talk to grown folks like they the mama and the daddy. I sit and watch kids just show out. Honey, woo, just act up. And the parents act like they the kid. I just don't know what to do. Beat their behind. And I know there are those out there that say, oh, that is just wrong. I'm only going by what the Word says. I ain't saying that you got to beat your child black and blue. I'm saying you need to tell your child, tear that behind up. That's why God gave us scripture, so that we can bear that rod. Because I'm going to tell you, I became a better person when I got a spanking. And it only took one. Disobedience. You know, my mom, Miss Lillian didn't play. Miss Evelyn didn't play. My mother and my godmother, which I call my, might as well say, she was my great-great aunt, but she was my, like my grandmother. And she didn't play. My mother didn't play. But I tell you what, it took one spanking from my godfather to get my attention. And that man never had to spank me again. And I deserved the spanking. But because he was not someone that was a spanker, that one spanking got my attention. We got to not spoil the rod. We got to get our children's attention. Because I'm going to tell you something. They don't want to be spanked by God. Then they've done that, got my behind toe up, and deserved it. Proverbs 22:16, he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. Folks giving a last dollar to buy the pastor a place. and can't feed their family. God is watching everything we do. We got to have common sense. And God will give you Holy Ghost sense when you believe and trust in him. As we get into our New Testament word, we are coming out of Romans chapter 7, starting in chapter 7. And we'll be reading Romans chapter 7, 8, and 9 this morning. And then, if time permits, we will go back and read Job chapter 5. And I just say this, in this word this morning, God gave me an understanding, because God will provide whatever it is that you need. God will provide it. All you have to do is believe. We know all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God today? I know I do. And I've seen him work in my life. You know, those testimonies you hear people give and you're like, that is so awesome. You get filled up for them until God gives you that type of testimony. From our test come our testimony. From our mess come message. Come messages from God. I'm believing God for some messages. Hallelujah. Because I always have a mess somewhere in my life. Whatever that mess may be, understand God will help you clean it up. I'm just speaking for me. I can't say for nobody else because I know I'm not perfect. But I can tell you one thing. I love God. And I trust him. And I talk to him all the time. I'm sure folks driving past my car on the highway are wondering, what is wrong with that lady? Because there's times me and God, we just talk all the way. I work out at 10. And I'm going to tell you some Monday mornings, or Tuesday, Wednesday mornings and Friday mornings, when I drive out of town, when I tell you I got to go to work, it's really because I do have to go to work. And I'm telling you, on those drives, after reading the word of God, I'm so filled up that I talk all the way to work to God. Just have a conversation. And, you know, sometimes there are times that I have been in my car just crying like a baby. Because the Holy Spirit just fills me up and it just washes away everything because I love him so much. And I'm so grateful that he loves me back. He loves me in my good. He loves me in my bad. And he has loved me through my ugly. God loves us. And all things work for good for those who love God. Are you loving him today? Are you just giving lip service? We got to love God. And it shows in how you speak, how you walk, how you talk, how you love God's people. Love each other and love God. And in Romans 7, this is what Paul tells us. He says, or do you not know, brother? For I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. But when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Commandment of it then. Hallelujah. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. But we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. But what am I doing? I do not understand. But what I will do, that I do not, what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, but to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not know. But the good that I will do, I do not do. But the evil I will do to do, I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Nobody is perfect. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, and I'm going to also go back and look at this in the Christian Standard, just so that we get a lot of this in a conceptual way, because this is Bible study. And I'd like to say in the life lessons that Dr. Stanley gave us from our Life Principles Daily Bible, and again, I tell you, and again, I am not paid by In Touch Ministries. This Bible is a must-have in your Bible arsenal. This Bible is a must. You need to get a daily Bible, something that you can read daily. You can join us and go through the Word with us, or you can get it yourself if you cannot get on time, get in here with us. But I am on Twitter and I am on Facebook. And I tell you, this Word is so important. We need to study and read the Word of God every day. Get you a study Bible. And I tell you, watch God work in your life. And as this Word goes, Dr. Stanley tells us in Romans 7:12, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. The Word of God reveals to us the character of God, His holiness, righteousness, justice, goodness, kindness, and more. As a reflection of Him, the Word both celebrates His perfect nature and reveals to us our own fallen nature. Again, we are not perfect. We are sinful. We are flesh. But with God, we are holy. We are righteous. We are the spiritual beings that God created us to be. And it says in Romans 7:15, what I will choose do, that I do not practice for what I hate that I do. All of us relate to the fierce internal struggle that Paul describes. Until we stand in Jesus' presence, we will all experience this battle. The only way to win it is by joyfully tapping into the fierce overcoming power. We all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but God, through Jesus Christ, we can prevail over the flesh. But it takes prayer. It takes time with God. 7 and 18, to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. We simply do not have the power by ourselves to do what pleases God, even the good things we do in our own strength, make us prideful and dishonoring to God. We can't be prideful. And I just speak it. I know I have a situation of procrastination, but I know one thing. God's going to help me get through it. God's going to help me get through it. You know, yesterday I made a decision through that prayer that, Lord, I am going to work on this procrastinating spirit. The flesh is weak, but I know I serve a mightier God. To the point, you know, I took my grandchildren to a play last night, and I thought it started at 8 o'clock. I think I had 8 on my mind because I didn't want to be late. I was determined I was not going to be late. And my granddaughter, she's like, I thought you said 8:30. And I said, no, I think it's 8 o'clock. I hadn't looked at the ticket. And they were on my cell phone, and I hadn't looked at it because my other granddaughter had my cell phone. Like I said, when you get a certain age, you need someone that's a little bit younger to go in and clean up your phone because you done made a mess. And she's my phone cleaner. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for my grandbaby who has a technological mind. But anyway, and she also plays games on there to get me higher scores, just being honest. But anyway, so I said 8 o'clock. And so we get there, you know, we leave here. I only lived like 5 minutes from, you know, the theater we were going to. And so we leave about 10 minutes to 8 because it's only like a minute or two down the road. We get there before 8 o'clock, and I said, oh, it's 8:01. They haven't started yet. And we pull out the program, and she said, I told you it didn't start to 8:30. I said, well, we just wanted to be on time. And then I had to laugh, and she just looked at me. I said, I am trying to turn over a new leaf and be more timely in whatever it is I have to do. And so she just kind of gave me a look. But I thank God because I am determined to get better with my time management. So let's keep going in this word. And our word is coming out of chapter 8 of the book of Romans. But one more time, I want to go over to you again our Christian Standard Bible this morning. We're kind of all over today, but God has put this in my heart. Make it, as He said, make it plain. And when we go over to Christian Standard, and it says the illustration from marriage, but we're going to go over the problem of sin in us. You know, and it goes on to tell us that, well, we know that the law is spiritual, and I am the flesh, sold as a slave to sin. That's what the one Bible says. And we are flesh, sold to sin, but we want to be better. And that's the great thing about it, is we want to be better. And when we want to be better, we can be better. And, you know, as Dr. Evans said in his words, the law came from God and represents His holy character. And that's what we need to remember. And then when we go, and that's 7 and 12. But when we go back up to 7, and I love actually 6 and 23, it says Paul is writing to Christians here. The point is that believers can still choose sin, But when they do, they collect their rightful wages, weakness, sickness, meaninglessness, and the loss of spiritual fellowship with God. Unbelievers, on the other hand, live in a perpetual state of spiritual death, separation from God. The law is designed to reveal sin, but knowing what is forbidden also as a way of arousing sinful passions. And, you know, let's just, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then what you have is folks committing adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Folks wanting what me and but Miss Jones and Mr. Jones got. Oh, let's not forget. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Killing and stealing all over the place. Just this morning in Cincinnati, a shooting. Folks coming out of the club, 1:45 in the morning. 9 people get shot. Read where a pastor's son in Louisiana gets shot as his dad is trying to stop the violence in the community. We've got to understand sin is sin and it's running rapid. Read an article where a concert, I guess they have in Atlanta, had to be canceled because they didn't want guns being brought into the venue. And what happened? They had to cancel the event because folks chose guns over a night of music and just folks having a good evening. Guns first. Open carry. I can carry my gun wherever I want to. Well, I tell you this, I can carry my God wherever I want to. I'll choose my God over a gun. Let's just call it like it is. God is good. Romans 8:1-21, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Can y'all say thank you, Jesus, this morning? But what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son, who in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. And I say that, family. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage. Praise the Lord. Again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption. Thank you, God, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Who do you belong to? Say it with me. I am a child of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. But the earnest expectations of creation eagerly wait for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As we continue, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray. But as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Ooh. Now, he who searches the hearts knows that what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things, this is our word for today, and I say it again, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I'm going to read it again. You got to put this in your memory arsenal. Romans 8 and 28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Not my purpose, not your purpose, but his purpose. We are called for his purpose. We get caught up in stuff when we need to get caught up in the Lord. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? One more time. Let it permeate the spirit. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, hallelujah, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Hallelujah, say it. He is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He is interceding every moment, every hour, every minute, every second, Jesus intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which our Lord. Can y'all say hallelujah with me? Whew, this word, when you read the word of God, it fills you up. You feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I am thankful that you joined me this morning for Bible study, that you joined me for my time with God. And as we go back to chapter 8, as we go back to some life lessons, ooh, hallelujah, I'm just filled up. And I love what Dr. Stanley says. He asked him a question. And the question is, why do I cover? I say this, covering it all, we human. We haven't quite made it there yet. But this is what Dr. Stanley says. One day the gospel made sense to you and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins. You felt thrilled with the new life and marveled that many of the ungodly things you once did had lost their attraction. Perhaps you even thought you had conquered every sinful impulse. After all, Romans 8 and 2 promises the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We all feel when we are new Christians that we have arrived. Whew! I'm saved, I'm set free, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And then what happened? And then you stumbled. Badly. A new temptation. A new set of trials brought to light some area of your life that you thought you had whipped. You felt confused, ashamed, maybe even alarmed. Perhaps you wondered, how could this happen? I thought I was supposed to be free. The truth is, Jesus has set us free from sin, but it is a kind of freedom that sets us free from ourselves. When Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ in Galatians 2 and 20. He means that God has taken his selfish individuality and united his spirit with his Lord. He truly became one with Jesus, and therefore he had many of the same resources available to him that Jesus enjoyed on this earth. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are one with him. His likeness and holiness are present within your life. The very power that enables Jesus to resist all temptation dwells within you. Because we know the devil came. He came and he threw everything at Jesus. And believe me, he's throwing everything at us. Still, there remains within you mortal, within your mortal body an impulse to sin, a sin nature that must be submitted to God. So Paul writes, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, Romans 7 and 18. Yet we are not stranded in this barren place. For Paul also says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2 and 20. Through faith, we access God's power to overcome our sinful impulses. A little later in Galatians, the apostle explains it in slightly different terms. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5 and 16. We receive Jesus' gift of freedom only by exercising faith in God. We must believe that we can remove ungodly strongholds within our hearts and that he continuously works to make us free from all sin and bondage. Our responsibility is to say no to sin and yes to God as we trust him to provide the all-encompassing liberty that our souls crave. Hallelujah. And as we go into a few more life lessons for Romans chapter 8, it says this, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Since the flesh naturally puts itself first and does everything it can to honor itself, nothing done in the flesh can honor or please God. We please God only when we depend on him to do through us what we cannot. Again, we're not perfect. Only Jesus was. But guess what? We can be saved by grace. We can be saved by his blood. We are adopted. Hallelujah. And we're going to act like our dad. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Romans 8 and 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Grace does not change the nature of sin. Sin leads to death always. Grace never makes sin less deadly. Instead, grace enables us to rely on the power of the Spirit to put to death our sinful urges and desires. Romans 8 and 18, I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Bible never minimizes our difficulties, our suffering. Instead, all we got to do is talk about Job. What is he going through? We were reading Job on Friday. And we understand Job went through some stuff. We're going to be reading Job tomorrow. But I tell you this, he never stopped believing in God. Didn't like self very much. Wanted to die a couple of times. More than a couple, but he talked about death. But we got to die to sin so we can live for God. He says the Bible never minimizes our difficulties or sufferings. Instead, it magnifies the rewards that accompany our faith. It doesn't say you don't really hurt, but instead declares you feel far better than you ever have. We all know that we go through, but God will bring us through. Hallelujah. And this is what it says. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, the title of my lesson this morning. Woo, hallelujah. On this side of heaven, we will never understand how all things can work together for good for God's children. Certainly not all things in themselves are good, but God knows how he'll do it, and in him we trust. Can you say it, Dr. Stanley? Thank you. Dr. Stanley's preaching this morning. I'm just reading what he's got to say. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for this mighty man of God. Bless him and guide him and lead him continuously. And in Romans 8 and 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? All kinds of people can be against us, causing us trouble and pain and sorrow, but nothing can ultimately triumph over us. God wins, and in Christ, we win with him. Can y'all say with me, I win. I win. I'm going to win this battle. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Romans 8 and 39. Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once God sets his love on us and we accept his love through faith in Jesus, nothing can ever break the bonds of love that he creates. No one is able to snatch them out of us. Father's hand. John 10 and 29. Are you ready today? And do you believe with me? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You are called. You are called. And I love this word that Doctor gives us, a question that I'm going to leave with you this morning. What does God really think of me? Ooh. That's a hard question. This is what Dr. Stanley tells us. I never thought much about whether God liked me or approved of me when I was a young man, and I felt that way as a young woman. I knew that God loved me, but I never thought about whether he liked me. If someone had pressed me on that point, I probably would have concluded that God somewhat liked me. I don't think I would have said that he liked me through and through. I mean, Dr. Stanley, all up in my business. I know he's probably in some of yours, too. It was only after I truly experienced God's love, his total, unconditional, overwhelming, abundant love, could I say with all honesty, yes, God likes me. He approves of me. He likes spending time with me. He likes being with me. He likes hearing me when I talk to him. And he likes talking back to me through his words. God thinks I'm okay. I didn't come to that point on the basis of things I had accomplished, or actions I had taken. Whether I came to that point solely because I had a new appreciation for God's grace and work in my life. God certainly does expect obedience, but the fact is I had done nothing and could do nothing to win God's approval. God likes me just the way I am because he created me to be just the way I am. God's approval of me isn't based on anything I have accomplished or might accomplish in the future. He approves of me because I stand forgiven before him, and I'm forgiven because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and have received God's forgiveness that makes me totally acceptable to him. The first four chapters of Romans make it very clear that we can't save ourselves. We are all sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, by faith we are justifiably free by his grace, Romans 3:24. Jesus has done for you what you cannot do. He won for you God's full approval. You cannot have grace without the cross, but because of the cross, you have full access to God's grace, and absolutely nothing can separate you from his love, Romans 8:38-39. Kindness and goodness toward you without regard to worth or merit. As a believer, you have the duty to obey God, but you cannot earn his love. You can't buy his approval, and you can't barter with God to receive salvation. It is God's free gift to you. There's only one thing you can do in regard to God's love for you. Receive it gladly. And I say to you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. And I say to you today, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And for those that can stay a little bit longer with us, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Karen, this morning. And a word from yesterday says, God has not forgotten you. He will bounce back. You will bounce back from every setback and negative situation you are experiencing. Your story has already been written. Your final scene has been shot. You don't end in failure. You end in victory. And can the church say amen this morning? And the word that God has given Sister Carolyn for this morning that I give to you is this, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. Have a blessed Sunday, family. Have a great and wonderful day. Please join me, God willing, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we go back into the book of Job. Have a great day. I am not allowing the enemy to get to me today. I will be in Sunday school. Thank you, Jesus. I'm claiming it, I'm naming it, and I'm going. Hallelujah. No procrastination today. So, hey, if you're in Springfield, join me in Sunday school at Table of Life Ministries, 2600 South 5th Street in Springfield, Illinois. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. It's time to go to church. Have a great day. Be blessed.